Doc, you give him a base, right?
Right.
You give him a base.
Sure.
You give him a Masters. Next to Sakhar. You give him a base, and we are
somewhere.
Where am I? I had a mark. We are by Namak Rabbi Yochanan Karebi. Rabbi Yochanan Karebi, it is. Okay. Anybody have that? Rabbi Yochanan Karebi? It's a couple lines before the end of the Amud. That's four or five lines before the end of the Amud.
Six.
Name Rabbi Yochanan. Name Rabbi
Yochanan.
What do you have? Just Rabbi Yochanan?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say Rabbi Yochanan Karebi and Reish Lakish Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish had a machlokas early in the Masechta, in the second parak in Halacha Beis. They had a machlokas whether about peros which were collected not for the purpose of Shabbos, but then Shabbos came. So Rabbi Yochanan says Shabbos makes them kavua, makes them, then you're no longer allowed to snack when Shabbos comes. That's it. Reish Lakish says since it weren't collected for the purpose of Shabbos, so therefore after Shabbos you're allowed to continue to eat them and snack from them without having to take off trumas and maisros. So let's say Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rebbe. Rebbe holds that a chotzer is kovea. If you bring your fruits into a yard, even if you're going to exit the yard afterwards, since you brought it in advertently, you brought it intentionally through the yard, so the chotzer makes it to kavul lemaisers. You're not allowed to snack afterwards. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, whereas Reish Lakish holds like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a chotzer doesn't make something kavul lemaisers unless you intend to eat afterwards. Okay? Unless you intend to eat in it, excuse me. Okay? Again, Rebbe says as long as pass through a chotzer, the chotzer can be kovea vis-a-vis maisros. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yosef, it's only if you intend to eat in that chotzer. So says Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan. I probably have a lot of gears of changes here from yours because there are a lot of little markings here. Oh. Rabbi Yochanan, Karebi, Vafil Dizbar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan, yes, could be Rabbi Yochanan's like Rebbe, that if you pass through a Shabbos, it's the same thing like passing through a yard, but it could even be like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. How, why? Because it could be, even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that Shabbos is more stringent. By Shabbos, it's a special halacha that fruit which fell off a tree on Shabbos, even though you didn't do anything to it, is also, it's muktzah. So the stuff becomes muktzah passively on Shabbos. So even if you didn't have an intent to eat on Shabbos, Shabbos could have that sort of impact on the fruit and ban the use of the fruit.
It's because of Nola, right?
What? Because of Nola, yes. An interesting comparison. I don't really understand it.
Nola.
It fell off the tree, born literally. It fell off the tree on Shabbos, right? So it's because stuff falls off the tree on Shabbos. So this is the way I understand the comparison on an abstract level. Passive phenomena on Shabbos have an impact. Okay, so passing, so if something falls on Shabbos, even though you didn't do anything to it, it makes the fruit muktzah because of Nolat. So to hear, if fruit passes through a Shabbos, so to speak, even though you didn't do anything to it on Shabbos, that makes a kavul din ha'maisros, meaning you're no longer allowed to snack on it afterwards. Okay, that's the only way I can understand the comparison. Even Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda would agree to that. Reish Lakish, who holds passing through Shabbos, it does not deprive you of the right to snack. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, you could say he's going to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Vafil Dizmer Karebi, but he came not like Rabbi. Chomer hu bechotzer beis shmira. He holds, you know what? Chotzer is unique. Chotzer, could be Rabbi holds a chotzer is a doraisa. Chotzer beis shmira means a chotzer which has a fence around it or something else which keeps it safeguarded. Beis shmira means it's safeguarded. Shamur, right? The shel toichoi, he can, it's mechayiv doraisa. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, on top of you, Dom Rav, now, Mekach v'chotzer v'shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan holds that transactions done with fruit, and the bringing of the fruits into a courtyard, and to prove the Shabbos, the fruit growing through a Shabbos, ain't on Torah, they do not deprive you of the right to snack on a Torah level. Rabbi Yavishem, Rabbi Shimon ben Lucky said, however, Omar, HaMechuvar Chebechulam, the clear one which is most clear, meaning is Doraisa, Zechotzer Beit Shmirah. He also going through a courtyard is a Doraisa. So since it's going through a courtyard is a Doraisa, it could be, says Rish Lakish, that Rabbi is more machmir by going through a courtyard, that going through a courtyard deprives you of the right to snack, than he would be by Shabbos, that going through a Shabbos does not deprive you of the right to snack. Okay? Rabbi Yochum Shem, Rabbi Shem Ba'yachai, Omar. Yochum said, a Chiddush name of Shem Ba'yachai. By the way, notice this in the Bavli also this time around. And here it's in the Yerushalmi also, I want to point it out. Rabbi Yochum says a lot of things in the name of Rabbi Shem Ba'yachai. Yeah. I don't know where he got them from. Because he missed Rabbi Shem Ba'yachai by at least two, maybe three generations. Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe was Rebbe. Rebbe's Rebbe, Rabbeim, were Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda were contemporaries, although I don't know if they were not Talmidim, perhaps, they were contemporaries of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They were all students of Rabbi Akiva. But I don't think that Rabbi Yochanan, don't think Rebbe actually learned by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Perhaps he did. We know the Rebbe was a Rebbe, but my impression is not, because Rebbe, the famous Maaseh in Chulin, where Rebbe has a conversation with Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair is a Shimon Bar Yochai's son-in-law. Chizkiya was a son-in-law. So it seems like Rebbe was more of the general, and that there is Rebbe is a subordinate to Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. So it seems like Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai was much older than Rebbe, and very, very little was, given, if anything, was given over directly by Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai to Rebbe himself. So the bottom line is that Rabbi Yochanan, in some way, which is unclear to us, had some sort of intimate connection with Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Okay? And it's a mystery to me. Figures. It's a connection with Shimon Ben Yochai. It's a mystery, right? But, Rabbi Yochanan, Shimon Ben Yochai, Omer, says,
it's unusual. I mean, here you have an Amora mentioning
No, that's what I'm saying. This is a unique case. Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon Bar Yochai. It happens very often, and it's only this way I've ever seen it. This place, yeah. In this way, Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon Bar Yochai. It's also interesting that wherever he mentions it, whatever Rabbi Yochanan names mentions the name of Shimon Bar Yochai, he says Bar Yochai. No, it doesn't say Rabbi Yochanan Shem Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnayos, he's always known as Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So it's a rarity that we find a mention actually in Shas that Shimon Bar Yochai. I once saw somewhere, or maybe I'm making this up. It happens. And I think that it, wherever it says something in the name of Shimon Bar Yochai as opposed to the name of Rabbi Shimon, so it's more of a Kabbalistic tinge to it. I don't know if that's true. It doesn't, and I don't think it necessarily applies to Yerushalmi anyway. But in any event, here it certainly doesn't have Kabbalistic. What?
Is the Tana?
The Tana Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, yeah. Okay? No, it's the same one. Same one. Absolutely. Says more Rabbi Yochanan Moshe, he was a Bar Plukta. So I'm saying Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are always Bar Plukta.
Yeah.
Right? And they were both contemporaries of Rabbi Meir, right? But Rabbi, we know, learned by Rabbi Meir. I don't think he learned by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's what I'm saying. Okay? In any event, says Gemara further, Rabbi Yochum Shem, Rabbi Shem Melchai says, Hoylo Shtei Chatzeros, he had two courtyards. Achas ben Magdala, one in the city of Magdala, which is in the Galil somewhere. Vachas ben Tveria, another in
the city now called Migdal, which is near Tveria.
Oh, there is? It's called Migdal? Migdal. It's not it's a modern city or an ancient city?
Modern. More like a little.
I think there's a figure in the life of Yoshka, Mary Magdalene or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think that's this city. Because
oh.
I think she's from the Galilee. I forget what her role is. I think she was a sweetheart or something. In any event, Achas Magdala of Achas Vitveria, there, if he had one... What?
No. Magdala is... Well, it could be that these two... Like I just said, Migdal now... And
yeah, they're similar. Not the same, but they're proximity. Hakas Makla Vasatera, Havir and Bezusha Vamakla. She took the fruit through the courtyard in Magdala, Lochem Bezusha Vatera, with the intent to eat them at Tveria. Mikamon Shavir and Derecheter. Since they passed through Magdala, with no intent of eating them in Magdala, but in the intent of eating them in Tveria, so that's called Derech Hetzer, a manner which is permissible, Mutarit. You're still allowed to snack of them. Even when you're in the Chatzar in Magdala. Because this Chatzar in Magdala is meaningless vis-a-vis this fruit. Why? Because this is not their final destination. So it says, where Asir, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon is like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. They're passing through. El Chatzar is not Kovel, Gabi, Chumus, and Maestros. V'Rabba, and it's greater, means Rabbi Yosef, it's a bigger Kiddush. Because Mada Omer, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, just said, why in the Chatzar itself you can't eat? When you get outside the Chatzar, you can eat. Right? You can snack. Going through the Chatzar is not Kovea, but you're not allowed to snack in the Chatzar. Once you get out of the Chatzar and you go to a place such as, example, like your roof, then you can continue to snack, but not while you're in the yard. But according to Madam Rabbi Shimon Bar Shimon, if you're standing in the courtyard in Magdala, so you can snack there. Okay? We came and Shavir and Derechet and Mutter, since you can pass in a way which is Mutter, meaning that you don't have any intent to eat them in Magdala, you're allowed to be Kovea them in Magdala, to make them permanent there, so therefore you can snack on them there. Vil Rabbi Elezer, Rabba mean the Tarvayon. Rabbi Elezer has even bigger Kiddush, both of them. Rabbi Elezer, Mami came and Shavir, he's Chil, Boy and Derechet and Mutter. Rabbi Elezer holds, even you're standing outside a field, your courtyard, the final destination courtyard, let's say Tiberias courtyard. And you start snacking outside, you can walk in and continue snacking. You don't, once you get into the chutzah, you can continue snacking on them. So now we have four opinions here, big machlokas. Rebbe holds, you go through a courtyard, that's it. Forget it. You can't snack anymore, right? Go through a courtyard, can't snack anymore, even when you get outside the courtyard. Rebbe Yosef says, you can go through a courtyard, can't stack in the courtyard, but if you're only passing through, once you get back outside the courtyard to somewhere else, you can continue snacking. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai holds an even greater chiddush, that if you're going to courtyard one, in order to get to courtyard two, when you're in courtyard one, you're inside a courtyard, can snack. Even though you're inside a courtyard right now, but since that courtyard is only in transit, you can eat there. Rabbi Lez holds the even greatest chiddush, that once you started snacking beheter outside a courtyard, even if you're entering your final destination courtyard while you're snacking, you can continue to eat. Okay? Got that down, Pat?
Yes. One says you go into the courtyard and through. Right. One says you can walk through the courtyard, can't eat while in the
right.
Courtyard, you go back out.
Okay, you got the picture.
And the other one says if you're eating, you go into the courtyard.
Yeah.
And
you, that's the fourth one.
What's the fourth one?
Fourth one is that once goes to courtyard, finished.
Oh, that's the first one.
That's the first one.
No, that's... Yeah, right. First one.
Okay. Once, again, once you go through the courtyard, once you get the courtyard finished, you can go through the courtyard and eat on the other side,
right.
But not in.
Right.
You can eat in one courtyard if you're going to another courtyard.
Right.
And then once you finish up. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Halacha Aleph. I might say Paul of La Soda. Halacha Aleph.
Yud Beis second line.
How much he Paul love? Do you see that in the Mishnah?
Next to the little olive. Yud Beis and Beis. You're looking.
Okay, a mighty of Lasada. Some of you takes his workers out into the field. If they do not have food, oichlin upturim. Now, what does it mean they don't have food? It means that he doesn't owe them any lunch. They're on their own for lunch, so that they have the right to eat. Right, that's what the Torah gave them. So they're allowed. They don't have to take off any trumas or mitzvahs. And no matter how much they eat, doesn't matter. They can make piles and piles. Why? Because the Torah said, you're a worker eating on the field, you're exempt. Dispensation. No trumas or mitzvahs required.
Only as long as he's eating in the field, though.
Right, as long as he's in the field. That's all.
Because he can't take the stuff
home
with him.
No. But he has an even bigger chiddush l'chumra. Am yesh lo aloyen o lo mezoinus. But if he owes them food, because he contracted to buy them with lunch, and they're eating, and being yaitze their lunch with the stuff out in the field, that already looks like a transaction. And therefore, ochlin achas achas minatena, they can only eat one by one, not make a pile, because if they make a pile, it's talochab tzireif, which is like a mini miruach, a mini piling, and therefore, they be, if you have a transaction plus a mini miruach, you're no longer allowed to snack. And avalomina salt, also not allowed to make a eat from a basket, avalomina kupa, nor a container, avalomina muktzah, and not from an area in which the figs are drying. Okay? Says the Gemara, back to where we are. Says the Gemara, we'll keep one finger on the Mishnah, we're going back in a minute. Nicho lomina sal velomina kupa. Anybody see that? You probably have a header. Do you have a header on this?
No, I don't. Smack dab in the middle of the page.
Nicho lomina sal velomina kupa. You have it? You gotta keep finger. Nicho lomina sal velomina kupa. Okay, nichalomina savalomina kupa. I understand they can't eat from a basket, nor can they eat from a container, because that's like a mini miruach. It's like a mini pile. Velomina muktzeh. But why can't they eat? Why can't they eat from a muktzeh, a place where it's drying? What's wrong with that? There's no piling there. So it says in our Kama, the Tamar Tamon, Malakit Echot Echot Boichel, in Tziriv Chayav, just like you say over there, well, it's all part of the question. Kama, the Tamar Tamon, Malakit Achas Achas Boichel, in Tziriv Chayav, just like you say over there, that if you take one by one, it's okay, only if you join them together, it's Chayav. So, to say the same thing in the Muktzah. In the Muktzah as well, as long as it's not in a pile of any sort or a basket of any sort, so it's okay, right? It's what's the problem? So, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, but Muktzah is so kimetzurav. Once it's in a drying area in the Muktzah, it's as if it's already joined together. In other words, the drying, I'm not sure how to describe it, but drying, they're scattered, but they're scattered in a way which was, they're all together. They're all in the muktzah, in the drying area. So that also considers if it's a pile, and even though they're scattered, it's a collection, let's call it. And that collection makes them forbidden to snack for the workers any longer. Okay?
Collective fields.
Collective fields. Good terminology. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah again. Hasocher Zapoel. Somebody who hires a worker. Lasso Simo Bezesim. To work with him in olives. Amar Loni said, "I'm not lechol zaysim." So if the worker makes a condition, says, "I'm working with you on the condition that I eat the olives," ochel achas achas upoter. He eats one by one and he's exempt. Vim tziref, if he makes a combines them, he's chayev. Right? Same idea which we had in the previous statement. Lenakish b'tzolim to hoe in the onions. And the worker makes a condition to eat from the leaves. He can only eat one by one. In Tziref, if he makes a mini miruach by making a pile of them or a collection of them, the snack. Back to our Tani Devei Rebbe. Everybody see that? Tani Devei Rebbe learned in the house of Rebbe, Ochel Kedarko Upoter. They said in the Reisha a very different thing. We said in the guy who's working with the olives, he can be oichel achas achas, one by one, only one by one. Rebbe holds as much as he wants, even kedarko, meaning he can make a big, can make piles or gather a few together. It's okay. So he argues in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yoni boy, the Rabbi Yoni asks, mana kayamin. What are we talking about here? If he's hired to work with in the olive orchard, like any other worker, everybody agrees you're exempt. That's the halacha. A worker is exempt, right? While he's working, he's exempt from shemaisus. If on the other hand, he hired him not to work on the olives, but to work on the trees themselves, hoeing and watering, What? Pruning, right? Kol ha'am ha'moy d'shul chal achas achas u'potter. Everybody agrees that in that case you're right. Of course he can't make a pile, because then if he gets the right to eat, it's not the right which the Torah granted him. It's something which his employer granted him, and therefore it looks like a transaction. And therefore you can only eat one by what? You can't make a mini miruach. If you even join them together, chayef. So what are we talking about? Elokein anon kayomin. Rather, this is what we're talking about. B'shesachro, when you hired the guy, you guys still with me? L'nakishimo b'zeisim. To hoe with it, to take off. It's a very long Mishnah Gemara. To take off, I hired him to take off the bad olives off the tree. Bad olives. The thing is, what does he do with the bad olives?
Could he eat them?
What does he do with most of them? So he gives them to the Baal Boss. He puts them into the Baal Boss's baskets. So Rebbe says, look, this is just like a regular worker. A regular worker gathers and puts into the Baal Boss's baskets. Right? He harvests for the Baal Boss. This guy's harvesting too. So therefore he can eat kadako, right? This is what he's eating what the Torah gave him. Because he's collecting olives, he's harvesting olives, he's giving the majority of them to the Baal Boss. So what are their bad ones? But he's giving them the Baal Boss anyway. So therefore, he is a regular worker, and regular workers eat kedarkom in their pots, no matter how much they collect, no matter if they make piles. But what about Rabbanan our Mishnah hold? Rabbanan our Mishnah hold, you're not harvesting. The bottom line is, what are you doing here? Weeding out. So therefore, this is not a classic case where the Torah gave you permission to eat. The classic case is where you're collecting for the Baal Boss harvesting. You can also get chaparai. But he is not harvesting. He's weeding.
Isn't weeding part of the harvesting?
No, that's what he's saying. That's a rabbanan hold. It's not weed. It's not. Since he's primarily doing it in order to weed.
Okay.
Yeah, but the question is how you look at that activity. He got it.
I got it also.
Yeah. So that's the machlok. But you understand. It's machlok sorry, yeah, rabbanan. So you're on Rebbe's side. So no, I can't argue with you. You're on Rebbe's side. but Rabbanan argued. Rabbanan hold that this is not considered to be a case of harvest, and therefore he really should not get anything to eat. If he does get to eat, it's just it's a transaction, and on transactions you're not allowed to make mini miruachs, you're not allowed to make piles. And we also want to be medai from the Mishnah that that's the type of case it's talking about. I mean the Basra from the last case, our Mishnah said Dlenakish Bibitsolim. Right, you're hoeing the onions. Armalom nas lechol yerek, and it is going, of course, like Rabbanan. They say if you want to eat the vegetables, so there's some mekartiv olav oichel, then you have to peel off leaf by leaf and eat. V'imtziv, you make a pile chayev. The bottom line is what we see here is that it's sort of a case where you are weeding out the bad ones. Now, this the question is the achronim speak about here is Rebbe argue even on the onion case. The Pashup Shah said Rebbe would argue on the onion case here. Just like he said that by the olives, the weeding is like a harvest, and therefore the worker gets to eat normally, and therefore he's allowed to take as much as he wants and allowed to make piles. So too he'd argue by the onions as well, and the same for the Mishnah. There are Achronim, including the Kavanaki, who wants to say he wouldn't argue on the same for the Mishnah, but I did not understand them, and therefore we will not get into them. Okay? Is that reasonable? Yes. Okay. Says the Mishnah further. Halacha base. Do you have a halacha base now? Do you have a halacha base? I got a halacha base. What do you have next in the back? What? Okay, go back to the first Mishnah then, because he has it as halacha base. So obviously he divided after halachas differently. Go back to the first Mishnah. Matzah tzitzos baderech. Next part of the first Mishnah. Do you have that? You don't have
the next Mishnah.
Okay, so the next Mishnah belongs here. That's the solution.
Oh, that's it. So
okay.
Halacha Beis later on.
Halacha Beis really should be replanted here. Where does it appear in the Gemara?
Tesvav
and the Beis. Okay, so go to Tesvav and Beis and let's do the mission of the man that belongs over here.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Matzah Ktzitzis Baderech. You find dried figs on the road. Vafilu b'tzad tzedek tzitzos. Even you find them next to a. You have it? What? Yeah, that's right. Session in the shaman.
What's unusual is we're talking about roadkill. Figs
being a roadkill. Right, figs are roadkill. What's unusual is that the field besides tzitzos, even next to a field full of dried figs, the chaytena shinoita derech. It's all the ifali. There's a fig tree which is inclined over the public thoroughfare. Umotza tachtea ta'enim. He found underneath the figs. Mutaris b'shem gezel. You're allowed to take them. There's no thievery involved. Why? Because the owner gives his misyoish on them. He gives up hope and gain them back. Upturis mina meisers. They're exempt from meiser. The more is ultimately you're going to say because they're like hefker. Ubezesim charuvim. However, by olives and by carobs, they don't get disgusting if they fall on a highway because they're tough and hard, and therefore chayovin. Therefore, they're chayim and trumusum meisers, and also you have to return them to the owner because he never gave up hope on them. Matzah grogros. If he finds a date, im darsu rob ne'adam, if most people already pressed their dates, these are dried dates or dried figs. I think they're dried figs also. But, no, that could be. They're dried dates. Matzagros, im darsu rob ne'adam, if most people finished working the dates, and this mistama was part of a date cake, which is the Gemara Melacha by dates, Chayiv, and it's Chayiv and Trumas Amaisos, so it reached the stage of Chiyuv. Milav, and if not Potter, then it's exempt from Trumas Amaisos, because it's a solitary date which got lost. Matzah Pilchei Devela, similarly, if you find part pieces of a date cake, Chayiv, the Chayiv and Trumas Amaisos, be a dua, Shemidover Gomer, because they obviously come from the language that's completed already. Hacharuvin Carabs, until you made a pile of them, before you made a pile of them on top of your roof, you can take down from them to an animal, and you're exempt from the sumaisers, because you're going to put back whatever you don't eat, whatever the animals don't eat, and therefore there's no chiv and sumaisers, because they're not it's only considered to be off the cuff snacking. But go to the Gemara, back to where we were. Rabbi Chagai Sholeh Chavraya. You see that? How you dial it off? Towards the bottom, almost at the bottom.
Five lines.
Again,
they're doing it for someone else.
Yeah. Rabbi Chagai Sholeh Chavraya asked the Bnei Yeshiva, the people in the Yeshiva, Mau, I ain't potter the tznina nocha. What does it mean when it says potter in the Mishnah? It says that if you find them on the road, that they're potter from the meisers. What does it mean they're potter from the meisers? How do you spell?
That's 2 years.
Yeah, it's always spelled Nishan with 2 yuds.
No, but at least...
Well,
right.
That's
not the reason. Okay? Rabbi Chagai Sholeh Chavraya. He asked the Bnei Yeshiva, Ma'ohen Potter Tzininach. What does it mean, Potter? What does it mean that these figs you find on the roadside are Potter from Trubus and Mises? Armulosa, they said, Mishu, why is it Potter? I should say, not what is it, but why is it? Armulosa, they said to him, Amrlo, they said to him, Mishum ochel arai basadevu potter. Because he's snacking. He finds isolated figs on the highway, he takes them and starts snacking them, he's potter. Says the Gemara, Amrlo, to Rabbi Yechagai, said back to them, the choas, inan misnei. Would it come for like this to say? Meaning, there's no chiddush in that. I already know that from countless mishnayos from Masechet the Maisers. Not countless, but many. So mishum oichla rai besarevu potter. Because of that, you have to give me another mishnah. Elo, that's not the reason for the logic of the mishnah. The logic of the mishnah is mishum hefker. The reason why this is mishum hefker is because it has the din of hefker. Shekei imichnisa labayis potter. And Shnoel goes so far, says because of Hefker, that even when you bring them into your house, you're exempt from Trumas and Maisas. Because that which becomes Hefker is exempt from Trumas and Maisas forever and ever. Okay? Even once you bring it into your house. The Tanya, as we learned, and I'll bring you a circumstantial evidence for this, Matzah Kalkola, if you find a basket, Mechupah Mishba'alim, if you find a basket which is covered by leaves, Asura Mishum Gezel, it's also today because it's theft, because obviously somebody's safekeeping it, and it seems like a simon as well. And the Chayavas of Meisers, it's Chayav and Meiser. You have to Meiser it. Asura Mishum Gezel, it's also because of theft. Mishum Shdom Sheshbo Simon, because it's got a simon, meaning that it's covered. The Chayavas of Meisers, it's Chayav and Meiseris. Sha'at Khan. Shad Akshav Das Bailam Aleh, because obviously its master, its owner wants to get it back. So the proof from here is that just like here that it's chayev because there's still ownership, so to where it's exempt because the ownership fell off. Had its ownership fell off through the medium of Hefker. Okay? So the barometer of Chiyav and Ptur here, of Chayav and Trumas Maisos, exempt from Trumas Maisos, is ownership. Okay? Now, very interesting question. He actually, the Kavanaki quotes here Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I never saw him do it before. Ad Heichon. You find fruit. To what point, and it has a simon, to what point do you have to continue working with it in order to possibly eventually restore it to its original owner? Ad Heichon, to what extent do you have to continue to work to keep it or preserve it? Because you might be able to give it back to its original owner. It's an amazing answer, the market is. You know how long you have to keep fruit? No. You have Mina Hefker? You have Mina Mufkar?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, guess what I have? You don't have to guess, I told you. Mina Mufkar. From the chosen, and he translates that. I guess he gets it from the disciple's son. He translates it that as long as it's suitable to be torah on as grade A fruit. Meaning, there's a loch. You always must say true from grade A. So as long as it remains grade A, it doesn't turn into grade B. No, even if it doesn't rot. Like, you know, the you can get two grades of apples at the grocery store. So the stuff with the bruises and stuff without the bruises. So as long as it doesn't diminish to grade B, I have to keep it. But once it diminishes to grade B, that's it. I get rid of it. I sell it. I keep the money through our troubles I made on the money. Okay? So Arechon, Akidei Shiocho Lichomin Ha Muvchar. From that chosen. The Ritbaz doesn't make the correction here? Doesn't even discuss it? Let's see if I can find quickly where it comes. Probably from, it comes from the Rash Sereleo. Yeah, the right. No, the right slayer has another gear, some Michubar. He says it's a grow, so I'm surprised the Ritbaz doesn't bring it down. He says it's a grow. All right. Be that as it may, that's how he translates it. He has it. Mina Mufkar. Loyachal Litro Mina Mufkar, if it's so far gone, that can no longer be considered Mina Mufkar. It can no longer be considered to be ideal. So in that case, we say, that's it, of course. Also, some dummy vocal, you redeem for money and you eat them and you keep the money for the guy when he comes along. Rabbi. Probably a week or two. How long do apples keep? You know, until whenever he shows up, yeah.
25 years later?
Until Bachi Avaleo, yeah. Rabbi Yonet, boy, Domi Maushi Itfulu Bukamekach. This fruit, once you redeem it, before it becomes imminently grade B. So now, can you snack from the fruit which you've just redeemed or not? It's not really redemption. I'm using the word redeem. I should use the word redeem. You're exchanging. So does this exchange bar you from snacking on them or not? Or do I say, are they like a transaction and now I can no longer snack for them? Or since if the owners will show up right now, I give them the fruit. So that means it's not a true transaction. So lom nit b'lo, so it's not tevel, and I can continue to snack from it. Okay? Mr. Zuga, do you understand what I just said? Not really.
What? What's the first part again?
This is a guy. He found fruit.
Right.
Now the fruit is about. It's the fruit is about to lose some its value. So before it loses value, he has to keep its value around to get back to the owner if the owner ever shows up. So before he loses the value, he says, well, this fruit is worth $50. I'll set aside $50 if the owner shows up. Now he starts eating the fruit. Is he allowed to snack on the fruit, even though it's not meisered? Or do I say, since he evaluated it and set aside $50 in lieu of the fruit, so then it's considered to be as if it's a sale and he can no longer snack on it? Okay, that's the one question.
Is it a sale or is it a mashka?
What?
Is it a sale or is it a mashka?
That's part of the question. That's really part of the question. Okay, Rabbi Mona, boy. Rabbi Mona wanted to answer. Mona's Rabbi Yonah's son. Rabbi Yonah asked the question. Rabbi Mona wanted to resolve it. He needed to resolve a very interesting fashion. Gatma. Take this issue further. Shoysa nesuna befif. Let's say you started munching on the fruit already. Designated $50 food, you started munching on it. And then the owner comes and says, wait! My apples! He wants it back. Says more, opiv lav kemosu. Isn't out of his mouth, isn't it disgusting? V'yochol hulach zira. Can he give it back at that point? Can't give it back at that point, right? It's already too disgusting to give it back, right? So, what? One apple, right. But that one apple, he can't give back, right? So that one apple, the moment he put it into his mouth, it becomes his, right? Now if the owner showed up at this point. Wait. But what happens if the owner showed up right now? You took a bite. So what is the apple now?
Disgusting.
But whose is it? No. Person's eating it. So he acquired it. So he's not allowed to snack on it anymore. No, it's since if the owner showed up, I wouldn't return him the fruit once I started eating it. I acquired it. Since I acquired it, that means my evaluation is like a purchase. If it's like a purchase, I'm no longer allowed to snack on it. It's a great love, this.
The owner acquired it. It's not his apple. What? The owner has come. He sees the owner. This is not his apple.
But he waited to take a bite.
You said the word owner.
So was he a thief?
No.
Yeah.
That means that's being the case.
No, he went like this to go buy it. And then he opened his eyes and the owner was there. Yes. You're catching me on my terminology. That sounds like Murray's saying. Okay.
So therefore, in that kind of case,
so he's eating tevel at the same time. It's a great kabbalah.
Well, because this is the only way that you could have a shas heter is by him eating it. If we're saying we're allowing him a snack. That means we're allowing him to do it so that if we don't care about the issue that comes along, so the fact that Issa and the Heter come together, we are basically going to say that it's the only way that the Heter comes through. I don't know. I just think.
No, it's the only way the Heter comes through, but we have an alternative which says it never comes Mutter. And now it's a snack. You're right, Heter's been a case in which we had to find Heter. So I don't know, maybe, but here's a simple alternative. Don't let him snack. Yes, he has to, such a reminder. Don't take chances. Okay? So anyway, that's what he says. So it's, I don't make this up, I just report it over, that's what he says. Says Gemara, Imarmat who came. If he says he's allowed to eat it, Lonim Tzorichel tell him the president now Paz is going to be in Tevel. The owner, if he's eating it and he can't return it and he didn't take up Tumas of Maisris and it's his, Hadar Mara, Domim Kemekachet. So therefore, whenever you evaluate, it's if you bought it and therefore you have to take up Tumas of Maisris, you're not allowed to stand. Tanya, we learned. Mata Kakola, you found the basket.
Alright, let me go ahead here.
You found a basket, and the owner for sure gave up, but that's no simon. But it's a place where most people take their fruit to the market, and therefore it has the status of a sale fruit. It's that by fruit which is for sale, it's a kavua. It's a regular to be kavua, because wherever he finds something along the road, he'll sell it to him. Knock on it, socks it's mine. And when you take a trumas of mice of it, the trumas of mice are misafik. Because maybe since it was on the way to be sold, maybe the owner already took off the trumas of mice, which is what he should have done. However, Malcolm Sher robe machdisa lebatim, in a place where most people take the fruit home to eat at home. So then, there's nothing yet which makes it susceptible to trumas of mice until it gets into the house. So matzah again, makom shorom machlizim batim mutar lechavim men orayin. In that case, we assume that it wasn't on its way to a marketplace. Therefore, you can snack on it. But when you do bring it home, we assume that it was whoever lost it never rectified it, and therefore misak nevadai. You have to fix it definitively because I assume it was never fixed up. Mechta. What if you have a suffix? 50% of the people take to the market, and 50% of the people take home. The sadeh. If you're out in the field. Misakta tamai. Then you're misaki it only as a safek. Because after all, you're allowed to snack still in the field. So therefore, you just treat it as tamai. And therefore, you don't take off truma, or you take off as miser, like any tamai. Hichnisa labayis. When you bring it into your house, when you're no longer allowed to snack, then you have to take off full blown truma miser. Therefore, you have to take off regular truma as well. Misak nevada. Rabbi Yona asked. Demai, Mao Shi Yitbo Levadai. This story about a case where you took off out in the field. Took it out of the field. They took off the mic because they're not sure. You know, it's not. You still have the snack. And the guy, you know, it might be a guy who is taking home, not a guy taking to the marketplace. So you took off only as the mic. And then you found out that it's definitely not tight. But you're still out in the field. You found that it was vada, that for sure not tight. But the case was 50-50, you don't know. You saw if you're allowed to eat it just by taking off tamai. Then you found that it was definitely not tight. Are you allowed to snack on it? Take the snack and do it. Say, since you started the process of taking two musumaisis off, by taking off because on the side that it's tamai, so then you can no longer snack on it. Is the tamai itself make it kavua levadai, and now once you found out it's definitely vadai, you have to take off truma before you eat it. You may not snack on it even though you're out in the field. Okay, good question. On we go to a separate issue. More doesn't answer it right now. That was a very big question. How to read the next line, but according to the Kavanaki, now we're going to a different issue altogether. Okay, on the top of Tes Vav and Alpha now. This is going back on the guy who only has to rectify the fruit definitively when he takes it into his house. Okay? Where he said that if it's a case where the people are machnisin labatim, right? People don't take it to market, but rather they take it home. So you find out in the field, so it's not yet kavua for Meisr, so therefore you can snack it until you get home, right? When you get home, you're misaki vadi, take off also truma. So says more, wait a minute. Imoy matkein, don't even say some makim, I got a prop. Out in the field, you took off Meisr because you treated it as demai. When you got home, you're taking off truma because now you're treating it as vadai. It's the antithesis of the way you're supposed to take off matnas and matonos. First, you're supposed to take off truma and then meiser. You're here to take treating out in the field as demai. And when you get home, you're treating as vadai. So you take off meiser for truma, that's verboten. Now to do that, right? So it says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yossi Barbun, I'm Rabbi Yochum, I'm Rabbi Shimon, by Yod Tzadok, Tzarek Latnos. He's got to make a condition. It's how he makes a condition. He says, if this guy, remember, it's a 50-50 case. We don't know who this guy is. So if this is the guy, if it fell from a guy who normally takes the marketplace, and therefore it could be that he took off Trumas and Maestras, and therefore I'm only taking off as the Mai, and therefore I'm only taking off Maestras itself, not Truma. He says, then I'm allowed only to take off Maestras. That's all I took off, and that's fine. Rim Lav, and if not, but rather the guys, for the guys who eats in his house, and therefore when I get home, I have to take off definitively, even Truma. So my loss, what I did in the field is meaningless. What I take off now, that's the true Muslim Maestros. And therefore, because this is finishing the statement, because maybe it's one of the guys who takes home, and if you don't do it in the right order, so you mess up, your Trumas Maestr is Tevil vis-a-vis the Truma Gedoyla, because you took off in the wrong order. Okay? Now, continuing this vein, do you have a header here?
No.
What? You have a Chash Lomar is the next statement, please? Okay, Mechza, Mechza. You have a header, but it's not, the headers are extraneous here. Now, says the Gemara, B'Chash Lomar. What about the other way? Now, here, I have one gear, so the Kavanaki's gear, so it made no sense to me, so I looked up in Reb Chaim Kanievsky's gear, so, and it's completely different from the Kavanaki's gear, so, and both of them might be completely different from your gear, so. But I read you like Reb Chaim Kanievsky has the gear, so. Chash Lomar Shema Mi Oison Shemach Nisim Lashuk. Do you have that? Okay, you have Labais, I have Labais, or Chaim Kanievsky has Lashuk. That's Ridbaz's tikkun, I think, here. See, that's the great thing about Yerushalmi. It can be creative. Baruch Hashem. V'chash lomar, Shema mi'oysam ha'shemach nisin la'shuku. Wait a minute. Let's say this stuff was intended for the marketplace, right? But you're eating out in the field, right? So what do? All you take off, so far, as the mai, is the you take off the miser, right? You take off the miser. So Sas asked the Gemara, the Neem says Truma Gedoyla, Tfula Trumus Miseris. Tfula Trumus Miser, excuse me. The Neem says Truma Gedoyla, Tfula Trumus Miser. Then I got a problem. Because when I get home, I'm going to take off Truma Gedoyla. But I'm going to take off this Truma Gedoyla out of order. Right? Because the truth is... Well, let me make sure I get this right. Yeah, but how's it going to be? But I'm since it's math, I'm confused. How is it going to be imprecise? You're right. You got the idea. But how does it work?
It's simply because if you take the truma off first, then you're calculating the miser on the balance, right?
Yeah.
But if you're not taking
you're eating at the miser before the truma. That's right.
So therefore, you're taking off too much miser.
You're taking off too much miser. Exactly. Right. Well, I don't understand because it's math. Anything that's math, I don't understand. But he's not supposed to understand math either.
Right, I don't understand it. I miss the concept.
Okay.
But this is
considered okay. Okay, good. So if it takes off Meiser before Truma, so the Meiser is too great in proportion. Because Meiser is supposed to be after the 2% Truma, just to use a round number. Meiser is supposed to be on 98%, here it's on 100%. Right.
I can understand all the little details that you're adept at.
Okay. That's okay. We complement each other. So in any event, you also talk. You have to say when you're taking off the trumas meiser, which is slightly more than necessary, right? Then you make part of it truma gedolah. Say to the kohen, you make it tznai. You say if this is supposed to be only trumas meiser, let it be trumas meiser. If it's too much of trumas meiser, then let the excess be part of my truma gedolah, because truma gedolah has no shear. So therefore, I can take and put it onto the truma gedolah. Okay? All these things is talking about where it...
Were you here?
Yes.
That all makes sense if you're the lady giving the Trumas Meiser.
No, but here the Yisrael gives the Trumas Meiser and be half of the lady because it's the Mai. It's the Mai. So it doesn't pass, it skips over the lady. So, Ad Kedum Dover Shein Lagori. This all is good. That you're chayiv to take off truma gedola also by fruit which has no gorin, meaning they didn't make piles out in the field. So the type of fruit, they don't make piles out in the field. So therefore, when you get home, when you crack, bring it into your house, at that point, your mama should have to take off truma gedola as well. However, avodav sheish the gorin, but if something which they make piles out in the field when they harvest it, Mafrishin Trumas Meiser, then you have to take off Trumas Meiser, that's true. But ain't Tzarech Lafrish Truma Gedolah, you don't have to take off Truma Gedolah. Yeah. Why is that? Because there's another, it's a principle which we haven't, maybe we saw in the past, but we haven't seen in a while for sure. God of the Tanya, like we've learned in other places, very famous Braisa, not so famous, but somewhat famous. Matza Pels Mimurachim Basode. You find fruit which has a pile, it's piled. Miruach was done, it's out in the field. Mechunasin, and they're in a pile again. You're not allowed to go take them home because it's theft, because they're clearly not hefker. However, mufuzorin, if they're scattered, you can take them home. You don't have to. You assume they're hefker because they're scattered all over the place. Beinkach u beinkach, regardless, chayovim ma'isrus. You have to take off ma'isrus on them. That's if they're scattered.
I'm talking about the expression
of Mishum Gezel.
One kind of.
Wonder.
Yeah.
It's
the same expression.
Two
opposite effects.
That's true. So what? That's really because of the status. Question of Gezel. Mishum is. The Mishum is bothering you because it's a funny way of using the word Mishum. That is? I don't know why. Oh, you mean it's redundant? We're trying to do Mishum Gezel? Just saying we're talking. All right. No. Bank Acho Bank. Scale of 1 to 10. Regardless, chayovin b'maisrus, you have to take maisru off the stuff. But they're exempt from truma gedola. Why is that? She'if shalagorn shteyoker elikain nitruma. You do not move the pile from out in the field without taking off truma first. That was the way they conduct themselves. It's not halachic. It's just behavioral. People will take off truma ASAP. So therefore, even if now it's scattered, so once it was a pile, mistame with truma was already taken off. Okay? Maisus mechanitolos. A general question, though, once around this really general question of human behavior. Where does a person normally take off Maisus? Truma he normally takes off while the stuff is still in the field. Maisus, does he wait till he gets home? Does he wait till he gets home? Minasoda minabais. Where is Maisus taken off from? Nishmina minado. Let's hear from the following case. The Tanya we learned. Chavar Shemes. Tamachachim died. V'niach Megura Mlei Peros. He left a Megura is a warehouse. But this is a warehouse in his house. He left a warehouse in his house. V'afilu ein bo b'yom ichnison. Even if he brought him to his house that day, moments before he dropped dead. He was schlepping the food and then he had a heart attack, right? So afilu bo b'yom ichnison. Even if he brought him to the house today, we assume that the fruit was rectified, that it was meisered properly. How could that be? They have Shishlon Yitzhufa Daito Shoachas. He just brought him into his house. And then he died. And he could have gone insane a moment ago, right? So when did he have Taita Meiser? It must be that when did he Meiser it? On the field. Must be he Meiser on the field. So someone knows. This is about a guy who died when he was lucid. So the moment before he died, he designated Meiser. And that is already in the house. So it's no riot that a person ever Meisers on the field. Rabbi Chanina b'shem Rabbi Pinchas said...
Well, we assume that that's the first thing he did as soon as he brought him
in
the house.
Right, that's the before he died, while he was still lucid. He wanted to bring a proof from this case. Very, this is the Taka famous case. It's Tzina Tamon. No, we're not, no. I'm Pentamin. You're still an Amram. The Tzina Tamon, wait, how many lines at the bottom? You don't have the Tzina Tamon, right? Isur, you have next to the word Isur, right? Right? Five lines on the bottom?
Yeah, it is.
Isur Echad. It's a famous case from Gamliel and Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua all in a boat. Right? And it was the time to be Mavara Maitris. The time in the third year when you have to get rid of all your Maitris by that Pesach. You know, that's the last time you have in order to take off Maitris. So after you transgress in Avera. So what's he going to do? So he said he was makne his maisers by kinyan agav, you know, but together with land. So the various different tanoim were with him in the boat. So he said, "Is echo chani osi lamud the one tenth which I'm actually going to measure. Nasi Yoshua, it's given to Yoshua. Yoshua was a Levi, Rabbi Yoshua, umkama muskalo, and it's acquired by him by virtue of the fact that I'm mentioning the place where the maisers is called kinyan agav." Together with Yisur Achar Shani Osi Lamud, another tenth, which I'm going to measure, Nosul Akiva Ben Yosef was given to Rabbi Akiva, who was the Gabbait Stoka. She used Kabolani Lobanim. She was zeichet for in it for the poor people. So we see Hadam Ramin Abayis. Here already the stuff was already collected and gathered in his house. So we see the Mises, the person waits to take off until the stuff is in his house.
I didn't have the first part of Rabbi Yeshua.
You didn't have Rabbi Yeshua there? You don't have Rabbi Yeshua? It's not germane to the conversation. The bottom of the...
Why you got it?
Because he had stuff. Bukavanoki had stuff. He added, I guess, to make the story more exciting. Okay? Rechiv Rav Shemel Aminado, I learned from the following case. I have Tetnina Tamon again. Mishu Perosa Bimagura. Somebody already had his fruit in the warehouse, which is in the house. V'nosan Solo Ben Levi, and he gives a measure to the Levite, V'solo Oni, and a measure to the Oni, Hadam Reina Bais, that means that Trumas you do on the field, but Mais you only do when he gets in the house. Rabbi Baba Mori Shama Minador, he heard the exact opposite, he argues, and learns the following, and again I have, Tetnina Tamon, Minabais Zuchala. What comes Minabais? There's a pasuk, I think. Yeah, Dvar Chavav Yirgimo. Minabai Zuchalo. Adamra teaches us where mices come from, not from the field. That same thing, take off Trumas on the field, he also take off mice as well. Okay? I'm Rabbi Yoina. Rabbi Yoina said, now we're at Tesla basement.
Yeah, really
what? We're still only two black.
No, it's not true.
Yeah, we started your Gimel base.
Yeah.
We did?
Yeah.
Divided by 12, if they were all there,
we
shift
something a little.
You give him a base,
do
you down a bit?
Back
still
22.
Only 2 by. No, wishful thinking. I'm Rabbi Yonah. Lomaru Ella Baderech. Rabbi Yonah says, it's only on the high, only on the road. In other words, when do I say that the owner gives up hope, and then you get to keep the fruits when you find it on the road? But if it's between our two yards, not on the road, we have a space between our 2 yards, and the stuff which falls in the space over there, that's not hefker, because the guy doesn't give up hope, because it's not going
to
get disgusting and trample there.
Mishnah we did before.
Can I just go to after the Mishnah?
Right after the Mishnah.
Okay, I'm Rabbi Yoina. Okay, where is it?
No, you give him your test ball.
I'm Rabbi Yoina. Look at Lomru El Baderech Chabenu Ben Chaveru Ba'olov. Okay, it's between him and his friend. Then it's not a hefker. B'seizim b'charuvim, by carobs and by dates, it's never, because they don't get disgusting. Am Rabbi Yehuda, v'usha matzah zeisim tachas zeisim, charuvim tachas charuvim. So you find the olives under the olive tree and the carobs under the carob tree. And matzah zeisim tachas charuvim, charuvim tachas zeisim. But you find they roll around. The carobs rolled under the olives, and the olives roll under the carobs. So then, lo b'dah, in that case, it is hefker. The guy does give up, but it's misyoyach, because he knows he's not going to get it back, since it's rolled to a different location. Okay? I think we'll stop here for today, because then starts a new sugya.
Yes, it was paying back the actual value that he owed the government,
the work
that he did for him, because the government was responsible, so he
helped his own. Well, let's go a little bit. Do you have an editor here? In Dar Sarov Nei Adam?
You just have
Lobatim in Nidrasos. Lobatim in Nidrasos, yeah. So the Gemara asks, how did you possibly find them scattered around in cakes? Don't they get scattered? Where do they get put in cakes? In the house. They don't get, people don't make cakes out in their fields, right? On Rabbun Barachiyat, the Potash Rov Dorsim Sarov. So about cakes, most people do, you know, this is complicated. Forget it. Let's leave it for Monday. Because I remember this is going to be difficult to translate. Okay. Let's tell you for your next week.
During the time of the Gemara, what did they put olives in?
You know what I mean? Might as well learn a little bit further. We'll see if somebody shows up. Okay. Back to Tess Mama Base. You have a minute?
All right.
Okay.
Save.